All right, guys. Welcome to another episode of Car Thoughts with David. I'm your host, as always, David Cowart. And today on the show, I am joined by Paula Hall, who is a social media marketing specialist at Merlix. And we are going to talk today about group communication. So, Paula, if you'd just like to introduce yourself, and we'll get started.
Awesome. My name is Paula House, and I thank David for having me today. I'm a social media specialist, started off in digital media when I took a class at a tech school by the name of Florida Tech in Melbourne, Florida, where I became interested in web development. And since then, I have become highly interested and highly involved in digital media, social media specifically. And so that's pretty much what I've been doing for the past 5 years, and I enjoy it very much. It requires me to be very technologically savvy, and I'm always learning things.
Very cool, very cool. And yeah, I mean, that's social media marketing is really where it's at, because that's where a lot of people live nowadays. So definitely a good field to get in, and you've been in it quite a while. 5 years, wow.
Yes, it's super funny because it is one of these industries right now where I think people are still trying to determine the value of it, but we know it's valuable, you know?
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's sort of like cryptocurrency or whatever. You know, a lot of people are like, well, you have advertising on different social media spaces, but what's the return on investment? Because it's not like it's not something tangible you can hold, like a videotape with a commercial on it or something like that.
Yeah.
Advertising days.
Yes, it's really cool because, you know, you do bring value to the table, because you're able to, of course, like in digital media marketing, like attract the leads to a company, or maybe they provide a service, and of course they get sales from you doing their social media. But sometimes some companies aren't necessarily, I mean, everybody's always looking to how something is going to contribute to their ROI. But in some instances, I found that, you know, just been helpful for like brand awareness or like hearsay for people to know more about the company. And that's not something that you can always measure in like free analytics specifically.
Very cool. Very cool. So, so as far as, what you do and, in more of the group communication sense, what is it that you like you really, are specializing in, or how do you help companies learn to, I guess, communicate better and to build that brand image?
I think what I do best is I like build the group's morale. And I've been really good at doing that for a very long time for whatever reason. I don't know if it was like an innate thing or something that I learned, but I think matched with just like a great upbringing and having a degree in communication studies, that when I come into a company, especially in my job in social media, it has required me to be a more sociable person. I usually bring the team together. And I've always enjoyed doing this online and offline. I think I do a really good job at bringing the company together, boosting the group's morale, making everyone like each other a little bit more, making people want to talk to each other a little bit more and kind of become more comfortable with each other. And it's kind of funny because people sometimes are hiring people and they're like, we want you to be a part of our family. And sometimes I think that can be a little bit hokey. But for me, I that is one of the things that I specialize at doing.
Oh, cool, cool. So, I understand having had several jobs in corporate industry, communication is important. It is really important for a team to be able to work together, for them to actually be able to communicate with one another and to actually kind of know one another, because, you kind of understand, somebody's, says something, might be misconstrued if you don't really know the person, but if you know their personality a little bit, you kind of understand, oh, well, that's just so-and-so, that's
yeah,
how they are sometimes, definitely come in handy.
I've never worked in that type of environment, but I have always been the person who's, like, going to learn who everyone is, and I certainly want to, be friends with everyone, if not be friendly towards everyone. And at the end of the day, I always end up knowing everyone and everybody likes me. And it's a big job and a big responsibility because you essentially become the person that people feel like they can, like, go to for, like, some type of, like, conflict resolution or someone who's going to, like, brighten their day when they walk in if they're having a hard day. It requires you to be, like, super transparent yourself, and you have to make sure that you're also always in a good mood, and so you have to have your, like, house in order, and that can be really difficult if you – you know, you have your own trials and stresses during the day, so you want to make sure that you are level-headed and you're right-minded, so that when you get to work, that you're able to be that person for everyone. And I've always enjoyed that because it's, like, it's really altruistic, but it's also, like, intrinsically motivated for me because it always makes me feel better about myself anyway. So, like, when I leave work, I feel like I've done my job and then some, because I've done the, like, actual job, and then I've done, like, this, like, this more, how do I say, like, emotional part of the job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's important because, you know, I mean, having that person that, you know, that you are, you know, you're able to keep the team motivated because you're out there, you know, helping kind of bring everybody together and bring that energy and that, you know, that joy, so to speak, as well to the work environment. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, it's nice. You got to have that guy at work. And I think now we have more of those people, which I think is really cool because, I mean, in a sense, it's like you're, like, having a positivity contest, which is kind of funny, but I think it's awesome because now, you know, it's not, like, anyone's, like, sole or, like, exclusive responsibility. Everybody's trying to make sure that everybody is, like, feeling good about themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's super important because nobody wants to go to work and be, like, in a miserable environment where they're just like, oh, you know, we're all just here. We're all, you know, we're all just waiting for 5 o'clock to roll around.
Yeah.
You know, and a funny story. I actually, one place I worked, there was this guy, he was a little bit out there, you know, a little bit different guy. And I had to work really hard to build a relationship with him. Cause the first time I ever talked to him, I said, hey, I don't even remember the guy's name, but I was like, hey, you know, there's this problem with this system. And, I was asked to let you know about it so you could fix it. He turns to me and he's like, you have not been here 30 days yet, so you don't get to talk to me. I was like, whoa,
right.
Okay, wow. and that was a little intimidating. I said, well, I was actually sent by my boss's boss to come tell you this because they were on a call. So, and he's like, oh, okay, well, just so you know, on normal days until you've been here 30 days, you don't talk to me. And I was like, okay.
I've known this person before. I've worked for a company, and I knew a woman. She said I couldn't call her a nickname because we weren't, like, friends yet. And I've known a person like that before, where, and I think it's because they feel like, you know, they're more, like, reserved about close relationships. And I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes you have to, like, proceed with caution with people. But, yeah, it's still funny because I'm more like, if I meet you, I feel like we've known each other our whole lives or something.
Yeah, yeah, and that's usually the way I am. So when they asked me, I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll go tell Sean. That was the guy's name, Sean. I was like, no problem. I'll go tell Sean. No big deal. You're busy. I'll take care of it. And of course, after I hit that 30-day mark, me and him were close. We were good friends. He'd come up and chat
yeah.
with me and just
yeah.
tell me random stories about his life, and everything was cool. But, yeah, some people just have, like you said, that they have to build up that trust or that level. And once you meet that
yeah.
requirement, you're good. Yeah.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. But it does, like, create, like, some type of, like, hierarchy in a way. And, like, that's great and all. But it's kind of, like, creates, like, some type of, like, elitist, like, status. And then you find that this person's, like, super, like, maybe, like, a softy anyway or whatever, so to speak. But, yeah, I usually just, like, override that. And I'm like, well, I'm going to, you know, call you whatever anyway, like, make some type of joke or something. And then, like, we just, like, set it off. Because I'm always like, what is up with that? Like, we don't have any time to be reserved or anything like that. So I try to just, like, be funny anyway. And I'm like, oh, so, Barb. Barf, yeah. So I've never had, but maybe one person do that where I was like, okay, I'm going to respect this person's, their wishes in this instance. Because I was like, maybe there's a reason why someone feels that way. I was like, obviously someone could feel this way. But I just thought to myself that it was just, like, so strange because I was like, I've never felt, I mean, I have felt that I want to, like, you know, take time to, like, get to know people, especially that I work with. But I never am able to do it because I'm just so excited to get to know everyone that I'm like, I at least, like, if someone, like, you know, presents an idea that I disagree with, I finally can feel like I can, like, disagree with someone who I'm close to friends with. Because being someone who's, like, trying to make sure that everyone gets along, you often often become, like, a people pleaser, or you're a people pleaser, you're, like, the yes man. And that's okay, in a sense, because you're just trying to, like, do, like, a decision made by consensus, like, of thing to, like, certainly incorporate everyone's opinion. So you're like, yeah, of course, or I can understand that. But I finally have gotten to the point where, like, I can finally say, like, okay, well, I don't think that that's the best idea, and, you know, still do it in such a fashion that I make sure that that person knows that it's not a personal thing. But there has been a time, which I thought was productive anyway, but it still can be, like, super selfless in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and that's what I, you know, learned about him is apparently I was one of a long line of employees that coming on there. So,
yes.
So obviously he did have a reason for that. And once I found that out, I was like, okay, yeah, I totally get it. I was like, dude, they're going to have to, like, push me out the door. You know, I really enjoy this job. I just, I just didn't know that. But yeah, and I mean, I think that's true too. As you get to know people better and build those relationships, you can then turn around and say no, and it's not out of any form of disrespect, but because you've built that respect, and you can say, okay, well, I see where you're going with this, but really right now we're
right.
Bad. We just can't. Maybe later, but right now we can't.
Right.
So, yeah.
Or maybe you have someone who becomes your friend at work, and they're, like, trying to tell you something about their personal lives that maybe they're trying to make a decision, and you would like to, like, make them happy, so you might have the feeling that you want to tell them, like, yeah, that's a great idea, but in fact you don't think it's a good idea. Well, I'm proud to say that I am able to say that's not a good idea, and, you know, from my experience, this is why. Not to tell you something that you don't want to hear, but, you know, it seems to me that it would be more productive to do something this way. And that's, like, I think that it's more effective to tell someone the truth about what you think than to just tell someone what they want to hear for sake of them being in a better mood and, like, being able to be productive in the group.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing is, people are coming to you for advice. You know, they maybe want to hear that answer that they want to hear, but at the end of the day, your feedback, and if you just tell them what they want to hear, you know, you may give them the answer they want, they may be happy, but, you know, they may, once they actually get it, or whatever the situation is that they're trying to work through, they might realize, like, man, I wish they would have told me to not do this, because this was a big mistake.
Yeah. No, I've worked in, like, the hospitality industry, and so we often have, like, people come in, and, like, something's going on in their lives. So someone would be like, Paula, this is happening. I'd be like, oh, it's okay, why don't you just, you know, stay with that person, that boyfriend of yours who's terrible. But finally, I got to the point where I was like, no, not a good idea. If you need some time or whatever, but I want to say, like, just whatever I could say so that they could just, like, get it together so that we could all get the job done. But it does require you to be, and I think that relationship is works better out in the long run, the one where you actually tell someone your honest opinion. But, you know, it can sometimes be tempting to just tell someone what they want to hear because you think that it will, like, solidify a relationship quicker, which I think is, like, you know, it's like instant gratification, and that's not exactly what we're going for.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, you know, a lot of people do look for that, and it's like, yeah, this is a long race. You know, this is not a sprint. You know, life is a journey, and you got to play for the long game. You can't always focus on the what will get me through the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. Indeed, indeed. And I find that positivity works most. So I always try to be as positive with my group as possible, whether it be in school or at work. That's always been super helpful, meeting people where they are. So I find that, you know, one of my best email techniques is talking to someone the way that they talk to you. And I don't know if you heard that or are familiar with that. I just read that recently. But it's always been one of my most effective email writing techniques, or even talking to people face-to-face in, like, an interpersonal relationship, not being afraid to go to where that person is so that you can establish with them trust. And I think that's super important when you're communicating in groups.
I have actually not heard that before, but in emails, usually when I'm emailing somebody, if they send me a message, I try and respond back in the same type of format and method that they type. So if they're like,
yes,
you know, hey, Dave, or whatever, I respond back, hey, Frank, or Julie, or, you know, so I kind of keep the format the same until they change the rules, you know, because eventually they'll drop off the hey or, you know, whatever. So I try and keep it. The only thing I really don't do is, like, if somebody's like, dear David, I'm like, that's kind of like old fashioned and I don't want to, you know, it's kind of weird. So I might say hi or hello. But for the most part, I keep the formatting the same. Cause,
it's gosh, a super smooth move. It's the super smoothest move, actually, because basically what you do, and, like, I've done this down with Pete, so if someone says dear, I will respond with dear. If someone says 5 p.m., like, P.M., you better believe I'm not going to put, like, a capital P.M. or something like that. And especially, they say if you're, like, trying to acquire a job and you're talking to someone in, like, a human resources department or something like that. But I've always done that with my friends. Like, if someone text messaged me something, or if I receive an email from, like, a student who I'm in, like, a peer or something, I always respond to them the way that they speak to me. Or if I'm talking to, like, you know, like a relative or something, I try to speak to them the way that they're speaking to me, because what it does is it makes that person feel like you, like, respect them in such a fashion that, you know, like, you're willing to, I don't know, it's kind of you're mocking them, you know what I mean? And people like to be mocked. So I found that, I thought that before I even read that. So I thought that was really cool, because I was like, that makes complete sense, you know what I mean? Like, it just makes it easier for the communication first and foremost. Before once you get to know each other a little bit better, then you can unveil yourself a little bit more. But that's after someone, like, trusts you. So I think that's funny. Cause at first I'm like, you know, I just want to be myself, but you have to first, like, establish some type of credibility in a sense. And that's a way of doing so.
And like you said, you're kind of adapting to what they are. But at the same time, I also felt like, in a way, it proved to them that I actually read everything they wrote, because I was able to mimic that. And then obviously I'm not, like, writing the exact same thing back to them, but I'm writing the exact same format and the same wording and techniques that they used.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like,
it's like you're saying,
I
like
the
you.
Time.
Yeah, I like the way you write. Yeah. Like, you seem cool or respectable or something. I'm going with you. So, yes, I think that's hysterical. I mean, that just seems to be always effective, and it's agreeable. And I think that that is helpful, to be agreeable. People like people that are, like, easy to get along with. And I think that's what that communicates, that you're, like, easy to get along with. You're not going to do something. Because I think also what it can do, it like, challenges people. And if you're, like, sitting there challenging yourself all day, it can become kind of, like, tiring. And so if someone has sent you an email back where they say something different than what you're saying, then it makes you think, question yourself. So that's just, you know, people like to be assured. So I think that it's a nice thing to do for people.
Yeah. And building that trust, especially in what you're doing with social media marketing, you know, is important, because you have these people that, you know, you're trying to advertise or to get a brand message out to, and you've got to build that trust very quickly. So, you know,
it's so important
to do that.
I was just doing a post last night, and I was thinking that I've been doing a lot of social media for myself and for a different company, and I was wanting to write in the style that I've been writing for another company because I've done lots of researching recently. So as far as I'm concerned, I've, like, leveled up with my content writing, right? But I was like, I need to speak the same way that I've been talking to this audience previously because they've gotten accustomed to me talking to them in a certain tone of voice in this style. And it kind of speaks to the organization's culture and mission and goals. So I was like, oh, man, like, I want to change this. But it's, like, nice because we've built this kind of, like, community writing style, especially for at-risk communities, which is, like, a super altruistic cause. So the way I usually speak is, like, more team-oriented or group-oriented. Like, it's all about us coming together and helping out the community in the ways in which we can. And so it's always like a super selfless tone of voice that I'm coming from. And so I just thought it was funny because I was going to do something that I considered to be a little bit more like edgy in a way. But I was like, I'm not going to be able to do that, even though I think that it would be more, it would like increase engagement would be better for our statistics, but it's not, it wasn't the same way that I previously been communicating. So yeah, it just, you know, it was important for me to be consistent and stay consistent because and the post ended up doing well and it got great responses, so I was happy that I chose to do that. But it is really important.
Yeah.
It's like you have to be consistent.
Right, and I have actually, I have experience with that because with this very podcast, I tried to make like little changes. Like, for instance, I bought a better quality microphone with noise cancellation, and I bought and I hired a guy to do voiceover intro and outro for me, and I had people reach out to me and they're like, oh, I can't, you know, because normally I record the show in my car, that's why it's called Car Thoughts, and people would message me and they're like, oh, I can't hear the car anymore, I don't hear the road noise. I don't hear the vehicles driving past and the sirens or whatever,
no.
You know, whatever noises, the trains or whatever they would hear on the drive. And then, of course, with the voiceovers, I had people saying like, hey, you know, that's not you anymore. That's someone else. You know, the way you worded stuff when you do the intro to the show is different. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I took off the custom intro and outro. I went back to using my regular headphones. That I used before that didn't have the noise cancellation because it totally changed the tone, like you said, of what I was doing. So I definitely understand exactly where you're coming from on that.
Yes, and you're talking to a certain audience. They say that, just off topic, that you want to talk to the people who are already following you. So if you are doing, you know, talking to, you've just already analyzed your audience and you just find out your audience is like, something that they're responding to is like what you're saying, like they like they dig the car noises or the traffic surrounding noises, then you want to keep talking to that person. And so I think that's funny. That's hysterical, actually, because you're like thinking you're about to do something that's going to improve your podcast. And people are like, hey, man.
Yeah, and that was the thing, you know, I was trying to make it fancier because, I mean, I've heard so many people, you know, like these professional podcasters where they're like, oh,
yeah.
I wouldn't listen to a show if it doesn't sound like you recorded it in a studio or, you know,
like,
people that are like very, you know, turn up their nose to people who are like breaking into the podcast scene. And it's like,
yeah,
so I was like, okay, I'll try and fancy things up, you know, a little bit. Like I said, I got responses pretty much nearly immediately where people like, oh, no, I need to hear the sound of your car. That's what makes the show. And it's like, oh, okay, I can do that.
How funny. That's hysterical. I mean, I get that, though, because I thought that Car Thoughts with David sounded really cool. I was like, I would listen to a podcast. I'm pretty sure that sounds something like that. And I'm pretty sure on NPR. I cannot ever really focus entirely on it. But I did think that was awesome because it was like, that's an awesome category. And I get that. But I was going to touch on positivity again because I just wanted to reiterate the fact that I think one of the things that also helps in group communication is if you maintain positivity, then you don't hijack the group in the sense that you don't misinterpret something and then get to a space that you kind of miss the opportunity to get to like the great space of everyone, you know, being highly productive and that generally being because everyone is like getting along with each other. And so I think that's critical when you're trying to maintain positive or be consistent in your positivity, is that you don't, you know, because like it can happen to someone where you think someone's like saying something mean, or you think that someone is like doing something that is like to maybe like that's like undermining or something. And I never let that happen to me, but on the off chance that it does, I have to like retract and like remember that there are a bunch of things going on. I just listened to a vlog recently, and this guy was like, he's like, what you have to understand is that there's a bunch of stuff going out there that you have no idea about. You just like, so be empowered in that. And I thought that was funny because it rejuvenated me and my energy for group communication or just being like positive in general, especially in group settings, because it does remind you that you have no idea like what's going on 100% of the time. So it is best to be positive, because then you always have this like awesome outcome every single time, and it's just like without a doubt. And I think it is funny because I so many times or not so many times, but I've witnessed it where people are like negative, and then something that they think is happening is entirely not what's happening. So yeah, that is just to add to that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of times, you know, we only see like the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what's going on in people's lives sometimes. So,
yes.
You know, it's being positive and, you know, showing that positivity and that joy and that excitement. It's hard for somebody to really stay negative in
yeah.
that type of environment. I don't know why this comes to mind, but the Twizzlers commercial with Ronda Rousey,
yeah.
where they're like dangling the Twizzler in front of her face and she's just sitting there, and then all of a sudden she starts laughing. It's like, it's kind of like that, you know. Eventually, you know, you're going to win the person over, and you know, their other things are kind of going to melt away, and they're going to be absorbed in that, because negativity catches on like a disease in a
yeah.
group environment, but at the same time, so does positivity.
Yes, yes. So, I was just reading about groupthink before I talked to you, because in my communication studies major, we learned about all these theories, like some of which are groupthink, or uncertainty reduction theory was one of my favorites, and expectancy violations theory was another good one. And mainly what it comes down to, in a lot of sense of the major or philosophy, if you want to go that far, is that people are generally just trying to like understand one another. And so and using different techniques, they're trying to understand one another. And so when you get in a group of different people or similar people, you're generally just trying to like break down and analyze so that you can better understand the other person is usually our goal. So I think in order to do that, you know, being positive has been probably my go-to number one thing in order to do that, because you eliminate a lot of like chaos and disorder, and you're able to like see that person as their best self. And I guess, you know, that's who I'd like to see people as, because then it allows me the ability to be able to like really see their qualities like in a like hyper sense of the word, like or in their qualities like really show themselves. And it's like, I'm glad I got the opportunity to see you in this way. And yeah, yeah. In like any type of group setting, whether it be like at church or if you're in school, is like one of my favorite examples, because it took me so long to graduate. I was a super senior. So I was in lots of classes, and I always had to be like the person in class who was like making the class go along. Like, so if somebody didn't get distracted or maybe the teacher didn't get angry or something, or like maybe someone's doing it in the hall and someone's like getting agitated or something. I've always had to be that guy where I like make sure that it's kind of like a boundary spanner in the sense. And it's just so funny because it's so easy for people to like go off and like trail off on some type of like different thought path. So what's been for me is like no matter what, I'm going to stay positive in the situation and not like, you know, let anything bother me for one. Because if you become like bothered by something, then like, or offended is like the worst, you know? And so it's just so funny because you can like, and it seems to me that in group settings, but I mean in any communication setting, you will like you can like watch someone like completely missing like what the other person is saying because they're getting offended, and so you know then I have to be like, hey, you know, all this guy was trying to say was that, you know, he wanted to make sure that you understood this concept, when maybe the student is like misinterpreting that and they think that the teacher's like telling them they're like failing or something, and it's so weird. So yeah, I would say that's probably like the ultimate thing that I've learned is, you know, certainly incorporate everyone's opinion and their thoughts and their ideas and their perspectives, but also, you know, and the thing that's getting difficult is that, you know, there are people who are like more realistic and more critical, so they're willing to like weigh in the fact that someone may or may not be like challenging them or like an opposing party. So that's hard. But I think that I'm going to be like devil's advocate and be the person who continues to be positive so that I can like see, you know, how things or what the outcomes are in that regard. Because for me, it's always great. But, you know, it's quite possible that I'm like missing something that maybe that there's like a deeper outcome sometimes if you're like willing to like have more conflict. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've always been that you know, play the both sides of the coin or the devil's advocate type myself, so I try and look at things from different angles. I believe on the Gallup Strength Finder, it's called strategic, which I believe, okay, based on what you're talking, sounds like that's probably one of your top five strengths if you were to take that test. But yeah, I think that's important because, you know, everybody interprets things differently because of the lenses of life and experience and everything that they've had. So sometimes you've got to jump on that other side and be like, okay, well, you know, what's the outcome of this? What, you know, and go through that thought process and follow that channel out to where it ends and be like, okay, well, that's not it. Let's try another outcome.
Right.
And just keep thinking through it so that you can help bring that person into the fold, so that they understand that, like, for instance, as your example, you know, the person's not saying you're failing. They just want to make sure that you've got it so that you don't fail. You know, it's you.
Right.
And figure out
right.
the interpretation.
Right, right. But I guess for me, it's also, like, to be positive in the sense of being able to, like, walk in and everybody know that you're, like, in a great mood is, like, a culmination of you being positive before then. So it's like one of those things where like, of course, you know, you can always turn your front upside down and you can turn the day around or turn the day upside down if you should choose. But I think that it's like my best times are when I'm like, you know, like on it, like anything, you know, making sure, okay, had a hiccup back at work, no problem, you know, fix that, resolve, no stress about it, didn't have any anxiety about it. All right, I go to lunch or something, and I'm like, we're in the line, we're waiting. I don't get like agitated or anything. I'm really nice to the cashier or something, and then I leave, and perhaps I'm in traffic or something. I'm not like stressing out. Somebody like jumps out in the street. I don't like panic or anything. And then maybe I like come home and I'm hanging out with my family, and like maybe like my sister's like kind of like sassy or something. Well, I'm like, oh, you know, like coming back at her because I'm not like in this like negative mindset, or maybe I'm like more like the water to the fire or whatever. And I'm like, oh, no problem, you know? And so it just, I think that it's important to remember that it's like a train, you know, you have to have like the momentum of positivity, which is so funny because it like can be kind of, it's like a double-edged sword, because sometimes you don't know if you're like ultimately positive. I'm just kidding. Like, I know now, but like I try to watch myself about that, in the sense that I'm like, I, you know, want to be my best, like 150%, so that everybody's smiling.
Yeah, I mean, and that's you know, great, because I mean, you're building, like you said, that momentum. You're adapting those situations and maintaining that positivity throughout, like water, you know, like Bruce Lee saying, you know, to be like water, you know, if water isn't a cup, it becomes a cup. If it's in a, you know, if it's in a stream bed, it becomes a stream or whatever, you know, it
adapts
to every circumstance. It maintains the fact that it is still water, no matter where it is, just is doing different things at different times.
That's a good quote. It makes you also see, like, you know, what you're saying, like, to add to that, it's super flexible, you know, and it's like, you're still the same person, but you're able to, like, you know, bend for people in ways other people are not able to. And then I think that not only makes you a leader in a sense, but also makes you more likable. And, but yeah, it's like, it's nice to be able to be flexible for people, because like you're talking about in companies and organizations, and such, I found that, like, when they, like, changed from, like, vertical leadership to, like, more horizontal leadership, it was really great. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that it just it was helpful, because I think that it gave everybody more of an opportunity to have input. And so that's why I like being flexible, because I'm willing to, like, incorporate everyone's input. And that's super important in groups, because then nobody feels like they're getting left out, which is always a big deal. And then sometimes you catch a perspective or an idea that you might have missed if you weren't willing to incorporate everyone's ideas. And then, of course, you know, I don't know, that just always seems to be, like, I think, really effective, and it's, like, progressive, so to speak. I think that's really cool, because then, you know, everybody is feeling like they're important, and everyone is important. So I think that's a great way about going about a good strategy in group communication.
Yeah, because it builds up engagement, you know, because people are more willing to engage and be part of the to communicate when they realize that, hey, wait a second, last time I was here, my ideas were listened to and they were valued, and we implemented some of those things. So you get that positive reinforcement.
Yes.
To continue.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And it's like, how often does that happen? Not too often. And, or not that it doesn't happen often, but there was a time, like our generation, I guess, I don't know how old you are, but I know, like, baby boomers, it was so, I think the word is unilateral, that, or vertical at least, that people, it was like, you know, so hierarchical. And so, and that's fine, you know, I can appreciate that, because at the end of the day, someone has to be the decision maker. But it's kind of scary also, because then it, to me, seems like you can have, like, tunnel vision, in the sense that if you have, like, a priority or a goal and you're not listening to everybody else, you might, like, just, like, be doing something that's super ineffective. And that is a scary thing, to me at least, because it can be like a time waster. And but I agree with you, you have like this empathetic thing that happens where everybody starts to feel like they can express themselves, and it's like great, because you have this like zen like experience. I went to a sustainability meet one time, and I'm in North Carolina, and it was about just like being nice to the planet, and we have this like group meeting where everybody like shared their feelings or whatever. And I felt so much better. And it was just so funny, because I'd never been in one of these things before. It was really, really helpful. But, yeah, everybody just, like, became, like, undone. It's like, saying, like, I'm so upset right now because this happened to me, or something like that. Or I'm so grateful for this. And it was really nice. But it was just cool to see how people came together after that, because we had the opportunity to really express ourselves and, like, tell how we actually, our deepest feelings about things.
Yeah.
I mean, thank the lady here. The Zen lady. Yeah. I was like, this is silly, but it was great.
Yeah, I mean, and that's so true, too, because that getting those those emotions out into the universe, getting those feelings, those thoughts out, I think it's good therapy too, because a lot of people hold on to stuff when they shouldn't. And that really ties into people not being positive or not being happy because, you know, they've got all these things tied up inside of them. And when you're able to let those things go and release all that frustration or whatever, you know, out there, you're no longer holding on to it. So that builds on positivity and the ability to communicate better as well.
Well, I hope that, because funny enough, for me, when I've, like, you know, tried to establish an environment where people felt like everyone was liked and everyone was, like, you know, equal, then what it did do for me is sometimes, like, what you're saying is that I was unable to express myself in a way. So you're right. There does need to be, like, a space for you to actually, like, because for me, it was, like, a mind game. Like, if I am not going to walk into class and, like, call someone, like, pretentious or something, or, like, a snob or something, then I'm not going to think that, like, behind their back either. So it's like I would never be able to acknowledge that maybe indeed this person could be snobby or something. But then what it did was, like, which was great, because when I interact with that person again, I wouldn't find them to be snobby. You know, then you end up having, like, an actual conversation. But if you don't have the opportunity to actually, like, process something that might not be, like, entirely all the way positive, then it can be, like, kind of frightening, because maybe you are, like, I mean, what other people might say, where they, because, you know, these different, like, colors on the color wheel or your emotional wheel, you know, I would eliminate. So it's just kind of funny, because I do agree that at some point you may need to, like, actually analyze what may, you know, these other characteristics about people, which I don't necessarily think it has to be bad. It just is an observation. But I always try to, like, if something seems, like, polarizing, and especially in a bad way, try to not think that about people.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, it may just come down to your perception, so you got to step back and look, use a little self-awareness, and realize that, okay, why did I have this, and what is it about me or them that made me think that, and then you can move forward and you know, realign with, you know, how you perceive that person.
Yes, super critical, especially at work. I think it's super valuable at work. I've worked for a couple of nonprofits, and these people can always be, like, you know, everybody, like, is super motivated about the goal and the cause, that you have to be really careful about, you know, making assumptions about people. And, yes, absolutely, have self-awareness. That is key. I definitely agree.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So thank you, I mean, so much for coming on the show. It's been a blast. I can't even hear about your communication skills and everything that you're doing. I mean, that's I definitely feel a lot more positive in my day.
Yes, so
far
good.
This chat with you. So as far as finding out more about what you do or who you are, getting in touch with you, what's the best ways to learn more about Paula on social media?
Yes, I'm so excited. I just finished my website. I'm at paulahealthphbalance.com. I have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You should be able to find me. I can provide you with a link to my website and all my social channels if you'd like. But again, it's paulahealth, paulahphbalance.com. I try to stay level-headed, and I think pH balance at the end made a lot of sense. So, and I'm glad to be here with you. Thank you for allowing me to talk about group communication. I did my best from, you know, just off the top of my head, these things I think about on a daily basis pretty much. And, of course, I hope you are having a positive rest of your day and continue out maintaining as much of a positive attitude as you can, so you can be as effective as possible in groups.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was a pleasure having you on the show. And, yeah, definitely send me the links, and I'll put them on the show notes. And
thank you so much, David.
Do you think all coffee companies are the same? Are you sick of companies misusing their donations? Tattered Beans is different. Tattered Beans is a veteran-owned coffee company that donates a portion of all sales directly to veterans, active duty military, and first responders. From each $12 bag of coffee sold, Tattered Beans donates $4 directly to the profile the customer chooses. Sign up today at submit.tatteredbeans.com. Purchase coffee and support those who lay their lives on the line at tatteredbeans.com.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.